I mentioned in the first podcast of this newly relaunched podcast channel that back in the day I used to record a lot of podcasts, hundreds in fact. I've just been going through some of the historical podcasts that I recorded in some as far back as 2011. And what I've decided to do is some of those more interesting podcasts I'm going to republish here on this channel. And the first set of podcasts that I'm going to republish is Ranger Radio, which I recorded with James Hurd from the Surrey Wildlife Trust. And I've just been listening back to those and had forgotten how enjoyable they were recording that series, where I was basically embedded with a Wildlife Trust ranger and going across some, if not all, of the nature reserves across Surrey. I learned so much from the experience. It was so enjoyable. And I think the biggest takeaway from recording those series was that I had no idea about the abundance of nature that was right on my doorstep. Things like the green huntsman spider, for instance, which is literally an luminous green spider that you would expect to see in places like the tropics, not in Camberley. Glowworms and other reptiles and the vast array of flora and fauna because of the rare lowland heath habitat that we have here in Surrey makes it quite unique. So I'm going to start republishing those podcasts, and this is the first one we recorded in January 2015, and I will go ahead and republish the other ones. I think we did one every month right the way through 2015, so hope you enjoy this as much as I did recording it and listening to it again. I'm with James Hurd on Barossa Common, and we're doing a new podcast series called Ranger Radio, and that is going to be the hashtag Ranger Radio. So if you're listening to this, keep an eye out for that hashtag, because we're going to be doing a lot more of these. And the idea came from the Winter PIMS event that was recently held here by Project 5. And I got talking to James and thought it would actually be a really cool idea that if once a month for the next 12 months, right up until the next Winter PIMS event, we do a podcast every month about the work of a ranger from Surrey Wildlife Trust. Now, James, as far as I'm concerned, you've got the coolest job in the world.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, days like today, the sun is, or I say the sun, blue sky is just poking out, but it's been a miserable morning as far as the weather's concerned so far. But I have to get out and about in it. There's no choice. It's part of the work. So loads of people always say to me, you've got the best job in the world. You're driving a Land Rover, your dog's with you, you're seeing incredible wildlife, and all that stuff. And it is fantastic, and I wouldn't swap it for the world. But you do get the odd moment when you get out of bed and it's freezing cold and the rain's coming down, it's still dark. Yeah. You think, I've got a day in this. Yeah. So the cup of tea at the end of the day is a welcome reward. But in the same breath, some of the wildlife I get to see and some of the things I get to see, the people I get to meet and the work I get to do, incredibly privileged.
Yeah, you've just pointed out a couple of bird species to me that I've never even heard of. What did you just see now?
Well, we've been stood up here setting up for the podcast, and around us there was a mixed small flock of tits, coal tits, blue tits, great tits, just flitting through some of the pine trees, and there was a female stonechat just knocking around on some of the heather and pine trees just off to our
very
side
colourful.
Here as well. Yeah, she actually looks a bit drab this time of year, and in the spring when the male's got his breeding plumage, he's an absolutely stunning bird with a black head, a white collar, and then this lovely sort of rusty orange red chest to him. Stunning little bird. And the name comes from their alarm call, which sounds like two bits of flint being chipped together.
Right.
Hence the name Stonechat.
Okay, now just talk us through. I know it's probably difficult in just this one podcast to talk us through the full extent of your work here at Barossa and other areas that you cover, but just give us an insight into the work of a ranger for the Surrey Wildlife Trust.
it's probably one of the most varied jobs out there. For example, in any one week, well, take this week, for example, I had a volunteer day yesterday out on Barossa with the Surrey Wildlife Trust volunteers. Today I'm doing the podcast with you. Then I've got some office work to do this afternoon. Tomorrow I'm out doing more media work with Eagle Radio in the morning. Then I'm out setting up electric fencing for a grazing agreement we've got with the National Trust over at Box Hill in Headley. But on top of all that, I can be doing wildlife surveys. I can be doing habitat management work, like chainsawing, for example. There's other sort of PR work I can be doing. I'm also part of the grazing team, so working with the cattle and the goats and the red deer that we've got in the grazing team. So that can be anything through from calving in the spring through to vaccinating to moving them to doing some of the paperwork associated with it.
Very diverse.
Unbelievably diverse. I can work with school groups, I can do adult education, I'll do walks and talks. The range of work that I can do is incredible.
Now, in the car on the way up here, we went from your headquarters in Pirbright to here at Barossa, and you mentioned a couple of things to me that I picked up on. One was the work you do, because you just mentioned then the chainsaw work. And you mentioned in the car about Merris Wood, which do these courses for young people that might be interested in getting into similar lines of work as you. And you said that they use the chainsaws and part of their course. So there's obviously some partnership work going on as well with other organisations.
Yeah. There's a block of land that I manage next to Paws. It's directly adjacent to it, called Paws Allotment. And I've had an agreement in place this winter under a felling licence through the Forestry Commission where Merris Wood students sign up. It's a land college, so they'll develop agricultural skills and land skills there, as well as a few other courses. But they're chainsaw students on their entry-level course, where they look at felling small trees and the maintenance of a chainsaw, need areas to practice. So what I've agreed is, I've got an area that needs to be thinned out. They need an area to train on, so we've combined the two. I get the timber cut down for free, and they get an area for the students to train on for free. So it's a great partnership.
Everyone wins. And the thing is as well, something else that I picked up in that you said in the car, that sometimes residents who might be out walking their dogs or whatever will see you cutting down trees and think that that's not a good thing. Explain how you explain that to me, why it is a good thing.
In Surrey, we're very, very fortunate, unbelievably fortunate, to have a fairly sizable percentage of the land in Surrey classed as lowland heath. And this is an incredibly rare habitat. I've mentioned in the past we've lost about 85% of it in just over the last 100 years. So it's hugely threatened. And it supports incredibly rare flora and fauna that is almost exclusively found on lowland heath. Scots pine trees are non-native in this part of the world. They're only native in the Caledonian pine forest up in Scotland, and were planted here as a timber crop. They are self-seeding and they grow around about a foot a year, so they can very quickly outcompete a lot of the native flora on a heathland. So we need to remove them. Now, a lot of people, if we're doing some felling work, might say to me, "You're the Wildlife Trust, why are you cutting down trees? You should be saving the trees." But on a heathland, in terms of biodiversity, a Scots pine woodland supports far, far less biodiversity than lowland heath does. And not only does it support greater biodiversity, which is basically more species, be it plant or animal, but it also supports species that are far rarer as well and need the habitat to help conserve that species, in some cases, from going extinct.
Right, so you're getting rid of bad habitat to make way for good habitat.
In a nutshell, yeah.
Right, excellent. Now, you mentioned just some of the wildlife, particularly the fauna and flora and fauna. What about mammals and other insects and that type of thing? Reptiles, I know that you see quite a lot of out here. Just talk us through some of the species.
Barossa and any lowland heath in Surrey is teeming, absolutely teeming with wildlife. And to some extent, even more so on habitats like Chalk Downland, which can support a greater number of invertebrates and things. So Barossa, to give you a flavour, Barossa supports four of the six native species of reptile. In terms of mammals, you've got foxes, badgers, roe deer, muntjac deer running around here. There's harvest mice, wood mice, voles, shrews. The bird species, you've got woodlark, nightjar and Dartford warbler, which are the three SBA bird species. Stonechats, tree pipits, tawny owls, little owls. What else am I missing? There's a rare fern out here called crested buckler fern that's only found in the Fenlands around Norfolk, Suffolk direction, and up in some Fenlands near Liverpool. So in the southern half of England, or the southern third, I should say, Barossa is the only place you can find this plant. It's an unbelievably rare fern. There's meadow thistle, there's sundews, a carnivorous plant, there's a whole host of orchids. We've recorded just shy, in 4 years of moth trapping out here, we've recorded just under 400 species of moth alone.
Wow.
So, you know, on the moths alone, there's 400 species. It's an unbelievably diverse and exciting place to come and see wildlife. And new stuff crops up all the time.
You showed me a picture in the car earlier on of the most incredible looking spider. What was that?
Yeah, that's a green huntsman, Micromata virescens. And we can have a go at trying to see a few today. It's quite cold and I don't know whether we'll find them, but we'll give it a crack. It's a green huntsman spider and it is fluorescent green. The thorax is a deeper green and the legs are more of a greeny yellow. But it is absolutely luminous. And at this time of year, it dulls down ever so slightly. But in comparison to the rest of the habitat and the foliage around it this time, it still sticks out like a sore thumb. In the height of spring and summer, when the grasses and things are in full flush, the camouflage is superb and it blends in beautifully with the grasses. And hence why it's got this green colour. And it does, like I say, it does dull down a bit for the winter months.
It really was luminous. I mean, almost...
It looks radioactive.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal spider. Not that common in Surrey either. Barossa is one of the best places to come and see them. You have to hunt around a bit on the path edges and some of the grasses and things, you might see them. But Barossa is very, very fortunate to say it's probably one of the best places in Surrey to try and find the green huntsman.
Right, fantastic. Now, some of the other habitats that you look after, I mean, is there any other rare species that we won't find on Barossa but other places?
Yeah, chalk downland is one of the big ones in Surrey. I mean, we've got the North Downs running through from places like sort of Newlands Corner and around that neck of the woods. They support a whole host of butterfly species, things like the marbled white, which is really good. It also supports a whole host of rare orchids as well. Other rare plants, which plants aren't my forte, I've got to be honest. I'm more of an animal man than a plant man. But the flora on chalk downland is far more diverse. You get much greater diversity on a chalk downland in terms of as far as the plant's concerned in comparison to a heathland. We've also got Surrey is one of the most wooded counties, if not the most wooded county in England. So we've got a good amount of ancient woodland here. So that's woodland, I think I'm right in saying, over 400 years old. And because that habitat has been a consistent habitat for that amount of time, the wildlife has evolved to know that it's a stable habitat. It's not going anywhere. So there's a lot of species that, because it's got that longevity and that security of habitat, that they call it home. And you will find some species only exist in places like ancient woodland because they need that consistency of habitat in one place for an extended period to be able to exist. So again, that will support a whole host of things like rare fungi, for example, that very often get overlooked.
Right. Okay, now we're going to wrap this podcast up now, but just to remind people, we're going to be doing this once a month, so follow the Ranger Radio hashtag. And also, what are other media formats, because the Surrey Wildlife Trust are really right up there with the social media. You've got a YouTube channel, you're very active on Facebook and Twitter. How can they find you?
The easiest way to find us is either search for Surrey Wildlife Trust through Facebook or Twitter or on YouTube, or just simply Google Surrey Wildlife Trust and our webpage will come up there.
There's
and there'll
so
be links.
So much stuff on the website. I was looking at it just after Winter Pims, and the events that you run alone, there must be something going on virtually every week.
Yeah, every week, almost every day. But certainly through spring through to autumn, there's probably not far off 5 or 6 events a week. Some of them have 2 or 3 events a day. They range from, you know, a small guided walk that might have six, seven people turn up, through to some big things like BioBlitz where anyone can turn up and there's hundreds of people that can come along and see what we do and actually get involved and find out how they can play a part in helping us monitor what's going on in Surrey.
I think perhaps at the very least one of the future podcasts that we do will have to be at one of those events see what goes on there, because I think that would be good fun. James, thanks very much for taking part in this podcast. I'm enormously privileged to be able to do this with you. Come out in the 4x4 and have a drive around here. It's just fantastic. And hopefully we're going to see a bit of wildlife now.
It's a guarantee.
Thank you.
I'll say it now.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Cheers, Paul.